Hello, welcome. Welcome. I'm going to let you get in and we'll get started. Coach Lisa is going to be in the chat, but she's also going to come up for a few minutes and visit with us today while we talk about body image, sex and relationships. Hi, everybody. So while everyone's coming in and Lisa is getting in the door and getting her hand up, I would like to make sure you all have your chat set to everyone. She will be chatting in all capitals. This is open coaching as it relates to sex, relationships, body image, and pretty much any connection you have to weight loss and your body image, weight loss and sex, weight loss and relationships. Let me tell you more. One second, get Lisa coming up. So, I am No BS Coach Julie for any new member that's here. Welcome. We once a month do a body image and sex and relationship call because we have found at No BS those things are tied together, sometimes so closely. And so we have found that having a call around this topic is really important. I am a life coach, certified coach, advanced certified weight loss coach, and I also have two sex and relationship certifications. So I am a Women's Empowerment Sex and Relationship Coach. I'm a coach here at No BS. I work one-on-one with No BS women every day on this topic. So I look forward to working with you here tonight. So you can ask questions in the Q&A. Coach Lisa and I will answer them. If you want to raise your hand and get coached, you can do that. Coach Lisa and I are going to jabber for a few minutes. Normally, we open with an education piece. Today, we're going to talk about experimentation and mindset as it relates to sex and intimacy, relationships, your body, whatever. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. You're always here in the chat, but no one gets to see you. And
Yeah.
you're really educated on this topic, too. And so I was hoping that we could talk just really casually about experimentation and sexuality and how you do that. Because that's one of the things most of my one-on-one clients that are working on this always wonder. They're like really embarrassed about trying things. They don't know how to get into a curiosity mindset, and they don't even know where to start when it comes to what to experiment with.
Yes. And I know last class that we had on this, people were a little nervous raising their hand and asking questions. So I volunteered today as tribute to I would get up here first and
Yes.
help you all out, see that you can be nervous and you can get up here and you can have a chat with Coach Julie anytime you want.
Yes. So, like this, the reason we are doing this at all is because so many women do not have like a safe place to talk about sex for a whole bunch of reasons. Have you found that to be true in your life?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think growing up, I'm probably like everybody else, had different experiences where you kind of get shut down in relationships, or you hang on to things from when you're younger and people maybe aren't as mature and they say things that stuff can stick with you for years. And so we hold on to it, and then that makes us fearful to speak up again because we're afraid of the same reactions, even if it's
Yeah.
different partners over time. So,
Totally. I
yeah.
think like, the idea of having a safe place where women can talk about, take control over their sexual health and well-being, share their thoughts and their desires, experiment with their thoughts and desires. This is your place. So please feel free to raise your hand. And so, Lisa, how do you work in experimentation in your life?
How do I work it in my life? Well, I think my husband and I are both pretty open with that sort of thing, but it always starts with communication. With us, it tends to start with flirting about different things and just popping up with suggestions or teasing each other with different things. So, but yeah, it's communication. It's just talking about it and being like, wait, are you serious? Oh, you'd really like to try that? Oh, okay. I'd be into that. Okay, maybe. But, and then setting the mood for stuff like that. I find that important too, because often my husband will suggest things and I'll be, no, like I kind of need to get into the mood a little bit. I'm just gonna like jump into this. So that's something we work on anyways.
I had a client just recently that was like really wanting to talk about like pleasure and like afraid to ask her partner for pleasure and certain types of pleasure. So this particular client, she wanted to ask her wife about like oral sex and being able to like she can't orgasm with oral sex and she really wants to figure out how. And so there's this method that most people don't know about called the Kiven method. And it's like this alternative to like, normally it's like legs spread, clitoris out, and it's all focused on like the knob of the clitoris. For those of you who don't know, a clitoris looks like this. Most men and partners focus on this one knob, right? But like the whole clitoris has about 1,000 nerve endings that create like incredible sensations. Well, in the Kiven method, it's a sideways oral sex technique where so much more of the clitoris underneath the vulva is being stimulated. So you're going across, and like she was too afraid to ask for this like tool that she really wanted to experiment with. And we talked about communication, and like, the partner was like first received it as criticism. And then like they had to work through that communication. So I think sometimes experimentation is literally like communication, like baby steps, kind of like learning what to ask for, when and how, things like that. Like, have you experienced anything like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, we were, okay, we're getting personal now, right? So
why we're here.
I don't know if anybody else has experienced this before, but leg cramps in the middle of sex can be very, very painful. And so my husband and I had to really work on communication with that, because sometimes that would happen. And my face is very expressive. My clients have always said that too. And I work on that, but I think that's what was happening. And then he'd get all worried and he tried to stop. And I was like, no, 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 no. Like, it's actually okay. It's okay. So, again, it was speaking up and letting, like, just letting each other know, like, he was letting me know that he could tell, like, something was kind of off. And I had to let him know, yes, but it's actually okay. So it was learning that kind of thing. Because in the past, I have also a couple of years ago had a lot of fibroid issues. So there was a lot of positions in sex that would be very, could get very uncomfortable very quickly. So again, it was something that I think that's why the whole leg cramp thing, he's gotten a little worried about, but it's actually okay now. So anyways, it's that communication and that just letting each other know. And I mean, the leg cramp thing, we just laugh about that now because it is kind of funny that it gets so painful, but I don't want him to stop because of it.
Because it feels good too.
It feels so good.
Paula just said in the chat, it's so hard for me to ask for what I want. So Paula, tell us why. Raise your hand. Let's talk about it. Like, this is the kind of thing where it doesn't have to be hard. There are ways to make it easier. You just said sort of flirting and joking. For me, joking. Also just being like, asking open-ended questions, like, I'm really curious about this thing. Would you be interested in trying that too? So then it's like a very open-ended. It's not like you're doing this wrong, so I want this. It's really like, I'm really curious about XYZ thing. Are you open to trying it too?
Yeah.
So I think it's important to just give your yourself some space to, like, for your partner, if you aren't partnered, even for yourself to get curious about, like I can remember, I'm not so great at the self-pleasure. Some of you know I had a fall and I don't have a lot of use of my right hand. So I'm doing anything like that one-handed. So I'm like standing, kind of like kneeling, one leg on the bed, and I'm like tipping over. And I eventually just had to laugh at my own curiosity and like willingness to experiment with myself. And it wasn't going well. And I was just like, eh, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to. Like, it's fine. Like, I know how to do this. In certain ways, some ways might work, some ways might not work. So what is in the chat? Maybe you want to think about, okay, Paula, Julie can help with that. Yes, raise your hand, Paula. I agree. So look, Lisa and I are just here like connecting with each other to kind of give you an example of the way conversations like this can go. Has your spouse ever asked for anything that like made you uncomfortable? Or you weren't sure, or it took time to figure out if you even wanted to go for it or not.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah. No, just recently, because I'm down in Florida right now. I live in Canada and it is really cold in Canada right now. So we come down to Florida for a couple of months and work from here. Well, this is the first year we're in a building and we're up on like the 10th floor and we have a very beautiful balcony that's got nice lounge chairs and stuff on them. Well, my husband he spent the first month and a half that we were here making suggestions and flirting about how fun it would be to have sex out there. And I was like, you're kidding, right? So it took me about a month to be looking around going, well, I don't know. Can anyone actually see us? Like, are we, it's not like we're doing this in the middle of the beach, right? Yeah. But yeah, and then at first I was like, wait, are you serious? Like, really? If anybody ever has the opportunity outside with the fresh air, listening to the waves, it's one of the most relaxing places to be.
Ooh, so, nice.
Yes, it was an awful lot of fun. But it took a while. It took like a whole month for me to warm up to the situation and then to find the right time where it was like warm enough outside. I don't know if anybody here is from Florida. It hasn't been that, has not been the Sunshine State this year, but it.
That's awesome. Paula's going to come up and coach. So I think I'm going to let you go to the chat and then,
fabulous.
Yeah, we can talk some more if we want to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no
Thanks
problem.
Thanks for sharing.
All right. Bye guys.
Bye. Paula, I'm going to promote you. Lisa's going back to the chat. Perfect. Please raise your hand. This is like such a gift that we have that Corinne is giving the membership, allowing us to have a safe space to talk about this. This call is not for everyone. If you don't want to openly talk about sex and relationships, you don't have to. This is not for you if you don't want to, but there's so many of us that need a space to talk. All right, Paul, I'm going to ask you to unmute. Welcome.
Hi, this is my very first time. Oh my God.
I'm so proud of you. Just right off the bat. Good for you.
Yep. It's hard for me to ask what I want because I don't want to feel. It's hard for me to receive anything, mm-hmm. whether it be a gift or receiving somebody's help, let alone asking for help. But I am very vocal in, you know, hey, honey, we call it potsy pots. My mother used to say that. So, you know, hey, you want a potsy pots tonight? Because he's not very romantic. He is very slow, very vanilla, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
And I definitely need a lot more. I need, you know, tie me up, do things to me.
But, yeah. Have you done anything like that with him ever?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Does he know that you have that interest at all?
Oh, yeah. He knows it. He thinks I'm a little crazy, but he's never ventured into it or, you know, even said anything about wanting to try things.
Mm-hmm. So tell me how he found out that you like that kind of thing.
Well, if we would watch a movie, you know, I would say, ooh, I like that. You know, why don't you tie me up? I tell him straight out, why don't you tie me up? Blindfold me.
Mm-hmm.
Have your way with me. You know, I do.
What's his answer?
He really doesn't answer. He doesn't say anything. I think he's embarrassed mm-hmm. with it. But
embarrassed that you like it?
Embarrassed
coming to do it.
Embarrassed that I like it and that he would do it.
Yeah. So, Paula, I think this is really normal because especially for a partner that doesn't have a lot of experience with any of like that, you can classify, we don't have to label anything, but any sort of BDSM, anything. If a partner doesn't have any experience with it, it's really common for them to be uncomfortable, to not know how to do it. And so, like, I like to start with that, like, identifying that as leadership energy, like where your partner has a space to like express their leadership energy, right? And so is he a strong person out of the bedroom? Is he really like power?
No.
Okay.
Nope. He's very patient. He's not quick to do anything. He will think things through before he acts on it. As where I am total opposite. I just,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and then I like, okay, that was a mistake.
mm-hmm.
But
so are you kind of the leader of your household? Are you the sort of driver of your household?
Not really.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I let him, I always ask him, well, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? What do you want me to pay first? You know, I ask his permission with a, not permission, but his opinion on things from what bill to pay, where we're going to go for dinner. You know, he'll say, well, what do you want? And I always come back with, well, what do you feel like it? Because I feel if I say, oh, I want Chinese, then he'll say, well, no, I want Mexican, you know, and then I forget about what I want and do what he wants. So I feel like it's so hard for me to accept it. And if he asks me what I want, I don't know why I can't say what I want. You know, I'll ask him, well, what do you want?
So tell me what happens when you say I want Chinese and he says I want Mexican. What's the problem?
Well, okay, we'll have Mexican. You know, meanwhile, I'm craving Chinese.
Isn't that interesting? So are you kind of like the giver in your family?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always given. Always.
So are you interested in giving this to you a little bit?
To me, sex and intimacy is important to me. It's always been number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems every relationship I'm in, it's great in the beginning, like when you're dating, it's great. And then it goes down to nothing, like I'm boring. You know what I mean?
I do. And I just want you to know that's fairly common. I mean, we will never use terms like everyone or anything around here, but there's a lot of data around it. It's very, very common. Like keeping a relationship connected intimately takes effort. It's just like the process of weight loss and how we have the basics. There are sort of basics of intimacy and relationships too. They're not so spelled out. But to keep that in the forefront, you have to kind of be working on connection and communication and like all of those things to sort of keep that in the forefront. So many of us kind of just move through life and everything just kind of settles in. And then it's like we for lack of better terms, I think you just get sort of comfortable and you stop like focusing on those needs and like daily life kind of takes over. So if you wanted to, like, do you want to affect this? Would you like this to change at all?
Yeah, I do. I want an active sex life. I mean, we're both older, but I have a lot of drive, always have. And I've never been able to find a man to keep up with me.
Well, so that's like so good to know, Paula, because people's drives really are different. And so like, and it's okay to have a mismatched drive partner. It's just that's where communication really is important, right? Because you need to express what your needs are and be willing to ask a little bit. And then your partner also has to, you know how Corinne talks about willingness and weight loss. Your partner also has to be willing to kind of step in too. And the only way to know is to talk. And the only way to talk is to just be willing to be vulnerable with even just one question, right? Like, can we talk about sex and intimacy? It's really important to me, and I want to talk about it with you.
We've tried that.
And how'd it go? Tell me about it.
The first time was awful. It got to be accusatory, and I probably didn't word things correctly. So I backed off. I gave him some space. You know, maybe a week or two later, I tried to approach it again. And he said that, you know, he gets very tired and it's very hard for him to have it. He said it takes a lot of energy for him. So I said, okay. So we said, well, maybe we won't, you know, we'll shut the TV off at 8 o'clock and, you know, we'll come to bed and put some music on and, you know, just lay there and talk and, you know, see what happens. Well, we tried that and things were good. Mm-hmm. And then kind of, he's the type, if we're not really connected during the day or for the last couple of days, he like doesn't want too much to do with me. Because he holds grudges. I don't. So when he's mad at me, he's mad at me until he's ready to not be mad at me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a day or two. You know, once I say my piece, I'm done. I'm over it. Move on.
Yeah.
But it's hard with that. That makes it very hard.
Tell me about what happened when you were going to bed at 8 o'clock and turning on the music and just talking and connecting. So what stopped that? Like, sometimes he has grudges, but sometimes he doesn't. How often are you still doing that 8 p.m. bedtime thing?
Not too often because he's involved in these Netflix series. So I'm trying to lead him away from the TV tonight. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I'm hopeful, but.
Well, here's what I would recommend. I would recommend having a conversation again, reminding him how much you really like those 8 p.m.s. Pick a number for you. I want you to think about it really realistically and doably. Like, how many nights a week would you be satisfied enough for today, just for today, and you think he'd be willing to do it? Like, 2 nights of 8 p.m. bedtime a week?
I would be satisfied with one a week.
Okay.
You know, I'd be willing to do it. But if it was my choice, 4 at least.
Okay. So, but you're willing to deal with one for now if you consistently did one a week?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
That's a great thing to ask for because that gives him 6 other nights for his Netflix series. And it gives him plenty of other nights to hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? And so if it's just one night a week, I'm pretty sure he can have no show and no grudge at least one night a week.
I'm hoping. I'm hopeful.
Okay. So do you think you can ask him for one night a week?
Yes.
Okay. And so remember, the last time you had this conversation, it didn't go well and you said it went accusatory. So I only want you to ask him under certain circumstances, okay? I want you to be really open. There's absolutely no finger pointing, no you do this or anything. It's like, I love when we do this bedtime music thing. I'd love to do it about once a week. I'd be willing to schedule it if you were willing to schedule it. I really love it when we spend that kind of quality time together. It's all I statements and neutral statements. There's no yous, there's no fingers, there's no anything. And the second you start to feel yourself kind of like that heat that happens when we get frustrated with our partner,
mm-hmm.
I want you to end the conversation lovingly. Like, I think now's a good time to stop talking about this, like in your own head, so that you don't ever get to a place in this one conversation where you do any finger pointing or use or dissatisfaction talk, right? This is about opening the door to have a regular, at least just for now, at least one night a week where okay. you get in bed and do the 8 p.m. thing with the music and see what happens.
Okay.
You can come back to Ask Coaches and tell me how it goes and let me know how I can support you. But
okay.
I think you're being really fair and reasonable.
Thank you. I think so too.
You're welcome. Good, Paula. Thank you for raising your hand.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We have a Q&A question. Anonymous. I have not been intimate with my husband for over a month, mainly because I feel like he's being critical of my body. Even though he hasn't explicitly said anything, he subtly does ask if I exercise for the day, if I've exercised for the day. We also don't sleep in the same bed because he has odd work hours. He's a workaholic and snores, so my sleep is severely interrupted. Considering the sleeping situation, how can I get out of my head with the comments that are likely just him keeping me accountable to what I said I would do and initiate sex and not wait for him when he's always working? Okay, this is a multi-fold question, and I love it, Anonymous. First of all, you answered yourself. You really know he is being accountable with you about your exercise. Your brain is telling you that it's judgment. And I think you're right on there. You know how you think about you when you're not exercising. My guess is you're projecting that onto him, which is really normal. We all do that with our loved ones, with our family, with our friends. So what you do when that's happening is you legitimately answer your brain back. It's the missing piece for so many of us. You tell your brain the truth. Like, I am talking to husband about exercise and he knows what my goals are. So I would fully expect him to check in with me from an accountability perspective. So I think that one is like literally practice answering your brain back, and we can kind of just stop there. Okay. So we don't sleep in the same bed, work schedule, and initiating sex. This is so good. And I'm just going to share with you all here before I answer this. I also don't sleep in the same bed as my husband. And this is fairly new. I have been no BSing sleep for years. And I never get good sleep. And my husband is about 18 years older than me. He's going through a phase where he gets terrible sleep. So he would get up and leave the room and wake me up. And I would lay from like 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. or whatever time I get up for work, 5 a.m. a lot. So we have the exact same bed set up in two rooms that are right across the hall from each other. And we sleep separately. I've never gotten better sleep, and he has never gotten better sleep, but he's also never gotten better flexibility around sleep. So when he wakes up in the night and he's like all Mr. Engineer trying to solve a home renovation project, he can think about that for hours and listen to a podcast and go back to sleep, and I am not bothered. So sleeping in the same bed in 2024 is actually fairly common. There's like some studies on it that like a lot of couples are doing this, and in new construction homes, they're building like what used to be considered a master bedroom suite is now two primary suites for people who are doing just this very thing. Now, let me answer your question. How do you initiate sex and not wait for him? Like, you go in there at the time he's wanting to get in bed. You sneak in there at other times. You ask directly, but like, you don't let it lie. So how we do it is like, I'm literally like, I want some snuggle time before like we actually want to sleep tonight. That might be starting TV in bed for us and watching a show that like promotes romance as opposed to like Shark Tank or CNN or, you know, Fox News or one of these news channels that we all listen to, right? Like, it's literally like deciding ahead of time, like, I want connection with you. And it, for me, it starts on the couch. It's like laying with my head in his lap or reaching and holding hands. It's making sure that like we're connecting in ways that like make it really clear. And then one of us will come to the other's room and like at the time of the person's convenience. So if I have clients at 7 in the morning tomorrow morning, he's probably not coming in my room at midnight tonight. So we're really thoughtful about it. But we do it. I just want you to know, like, it's totally, like, who cares about his work schedule? It'll be okay. At our house, my husband's retired and I'm the one who works full time. He's always worried about my work schedule. You know what he does? He asks me, what time do you start in the morning? So I just want you to know, you can ask, you can pop in and create what you want to create. Feel safe doing that. The two bedroom thing for sleep purposes does not have to impact your sex life. I promise you it's not impacting mine. I encourage you to go create the sex life you want to, even if you're sleeping in separate beds. So, okay. Okay. Jennifer says, I would love to get coached, but my 22-year-old son would be able to hear me. Michelle, you're up next. I'm divorced and now have a very loving, patient, accepting, and kind boyfriend who absolutely loves my body. The problem is I do not. I'm embarrassed now that I've put on 50 pounds. This is causing me to withdraw from any sexual activity. If I loved my body, it would be so much easier to be close with him. Jennifer, this is the lie you're telling yourself. This is the lie you're telling yourself. If you lose those 50 pounds, then there's skin, there's rolls, there's all these things. You get to love sex with your loving boyfriend who thinks you're amazing today. It wouldn't actually be as easier to be closer to him. Your brain tells you it is, and it's the story you're buying into because you've practiced it. And I get it. Like, I started OBS at 350 pounds. I'm 92 pounds down. I have a long way to go. I stopped myself from having sex 4 years with my spouse. For years. It's the work you get to do for yourself, Jennifer. So here's what I want you to do. Number one, every day, I want you to get up, see yourself in the mirror like you're going into your restroom to go to the bathroom first thing in the morning, like so many of us do. I want you to stop and make eye contact with yourself in the mirror and tell yourself something positive. And for day one, it might sound like this. I'm learning to love the human that I am. I'm learning to allow myself pleasure at this size while I create permanent weight loss and no BS. I'm learning how to believe I deserve pleasure, whether I like what I look like or not. What I look like, how I see myself, in no way affects my deserving of pleasure. This mirror work, I want you to stop in front of a mirror all day, every day. And inside, it's like your internal voice. If you're not alone, just find a reason to allow yourself to love you. I love you because I'm learning how to love you. I love you because I posted this question on this call tonight, because you are not alone. But the weight never makes it easier for you to be close to him. It's your mindset about your body. And if it's your mindset, that's accessible for you to change today. But it's practice. It's rewriting that story. In No BS, we have the Four Ends New Belief process. Because of the new No BS, I don't remember which module it's in right now. But Lisa and I will figure it out. We will tag it in the show notes. And I want you to take your thoughts through that Four Ends New Belief process so you can start to practice creating new beliefs. But here's what I want you to do. Don't wait till you believe something new. Let your amazing, supportive boyfriend love on your body because he does. Let yourself really receive love and pleasure because you deserve it, even if you don't believe it. It's like at No BS, you don't have to believe you're going to get to your goal to keep going after your weight loss. You don't have to believe you're willing to receive pleasure and to accept that someone else can love you the way you are. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Michelle, you're up. You're welcome, Jennifer. It's so important to me. Like, I have talked about it on former calls, but I waited for so long to allow myself to feel pleasure, and I denied myself pleasure. And I know what that's like, and it's just not worth waiting. 92 pounds in, I don't look at myself much differently. So how long are you going to wait? Michelle, what are you working on?
Oh, Lord. This is very hard for me to even be here. I've never spoken about this before. So, but I want to change me. So this is why I'm here. I have menopause.
Okay.
And sex is very sore. I cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it any other way. I've always been the instigator of it my whole time because that I always thought that's what my partner wanted.
Okay.
Or any man wanted, and I had to be a certain way for men to like me and for men to want me, which is all bullshit, but and I'm just not secure with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have never liked myself. I pretend I do, but I find out, no, I really don't. And even when my husband now says how beautiful I am and how much he loves my body, I'm like, dude, you got to get some new glasses, you know? That's one of the pieces that I'm trying to work on for me. But I've always been nervous to even ask people. I mean, I don't know how to pleasure him. I don't even know how to say this. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'm so proud of you. It's okay. Take a breath and just keep talking because you are not alone. I promise you there's someone in this Zoom room with us that feels like you and hasn't spoken up before. And look, you're getting some emojis already. Like,
I know, and it's like, I've never had a true orgasm because I cannot relax with myself or allow myself to do that. I can do it for myself. But otherwise, no, I just like close down.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how to move on. Is it having to love myself first or accepting myself first before that happens? I don't know.
So loving yourself first is lovely. And when it happens, that's great. But it's not a requirement. It's like a willingness to like work through how you think and feel about yourself while you figure this out with you're married now. I couldn't. Yeah.
Yes. 13 years. Husband,
does he like to be with you?
Yes.
Okay. So like you have that already, which is such a great thing. You know, he likes to be with you and it's sort of on you. You're not liking being with you in terms yes. of being with him. You're not sure what to ask for because you haven't figured it out yet, which is like, you're not alone. Like so many women. I want to address one thing before we talk about experimenting with pleasure. And that thing is like with menopause and dryness and pain, there are so many lubricants depending on what you're doing. There's water-based, there's silicone-based, there's oil-based, there's hybrids. And if you go to Ask Coaches, I'm working all weekend. I work Friday through Tuesday. If you go to Ask Coaches, I will give you resources for all of those kinds and when to use what kind. So if you're using certain types of toys, you want to use certain types of lubricants. If you're having intercourse, you want to use certain type of lubricants. If you're having oral sex, you want to use a different kind of lubricant. So I'm happy to share all that with you and anyone on this call, and we'll put some of that in the show notes. So that takes care of the menopause physical body piece, because I think if you weren't so dry and uncomfortable, that would give you some space. But let's talk about you. You can give yourself an orgasm with a toy.
No, I've never been able to. That doesn't really help.
Okay, so manually.
Mm-hmm.
Can your husband, has he ever given you an orgasm manually?
No.
Okay. Has he ever tried?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of pretend.
You're okay. So this is the thing. You get to pretend if you want. I'm never going to discourage that. But also, I would encourage you to be the human you are and be okay with the truth. The truth is something like 60% of women don't orgasm from a partner, don't orgasm from penetration, don't orgasm from oral sex. This is really not that uncommon. And it's not uncommon for women in my 50s. It's not uncommon for women in my age range, especially who are menopausing like myself. So this is not an abnormal problem in any way. So my recommendation to you would be to work on the communication piece a little bit, so that, because your husband, I'm just going to say it like it is. If we're faking orgasm, the partner, female, male, however they identify, they're not looking for any other pleasure option because they think they're pleasing you. So if you're fooling someone, they're fooled, past tense.
Okay.
They're not looking for another way to offer you pleasure. Now, orgasm isn't the only way to experience pleasure. So the question is, would you like to have one with him if it were possible?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to pursue potentially having one with him?
Yes.
What do you
I'm
think?
I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair. What do you think that would take to pursue it?
Break down some of my own walls.
Okay. I think that's a good start. What would that look like?
God, I don't know. Maybe trying to convince myself that he's not going to think of me in a bad way. He likes the way I look, so that wouldn't be the problem.
Sharing yourself as a whole person, the true you.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the thing that someone else really needs and wants, even when they don't know. Because like he doesn't know he's not pleasing you.
Right.
But I don't think he would want to know. I mean, That came out weird. I don't think he would want to be doing things with and for you to only to find out that, like, you're just faking it to placate him. I think he really wants to give you pleasure, right?
Right.
Okay. So if we go into this conversation assuming he really wants to give you pleasure and you want to receive it, then what do you think it would take? Like, whatever he's been doing hasn't worked. Is that fair?
Yes.
What are you open to trying?
I don't know.
Okay. Was there anything you absolutely don't want to do? Like, are you just like, absolutely not?
No intercourse at all. I just could not do that. And that's one of the reasons why I feel bad, because I can't do that for him. And it just makes me feel not adequate.
So when you say I can't do that for him, is it because you don't want to, or is it because of the discomfort that you have during sex?
It hurts like hell. Yeah.
Okay. And have
I
you
mean,
tried?
I can't even put a finger in without hurting.
Okay. So have you talked to your doctor about that? Like, have you talked, and what do they say?
They gave me some stupid ass cream and it doesn't do anything.
Okay. So that's really good to know. Because there are, just so you know, and so everyone listening who knows, there are gynecologists that specialize in the region of the vagina, the vulva, but they like are all about, you know, STDs, the pap smear, having the baby, but not really about sex and pleasure, not really about comfort. And then there are sexual wellness specialists that are gynecologists that specialize in this area. And so your doctor may not be super educated on pleasure. You might want to talk to a doctor that is, like, did they give you like an estrogen type cream?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for some women that works really well and some women it doesn't. Sometimes lubes work really well. But let me ask you this. When your husband is touching your body, do you get turned on?
I used to. I have to work at it more, I think, because my hormones are not really there anymore. But it's not that I don't want to.
I get
you
that.
Know, I don't know, and I think it's just there's just this wall that I put up so I can kind of protect myself.
Yeah.
I need to break that.
Let's just talk about that for a minute. If you could decide that what you're experiencing is normal, albeit not fun, not what you want to be experiencing, but like very normal for a woman who's going through menopause or in menopause or done with menopause. Then what it would take to get curious and experiment, which is our theme of the day, is allowing yourself to get out of your head a little bit into your body. Trust you're safe. Use words ahead of time to tell your husband, like, with all this menopause stuff, you're like, you really have a strong desire to be connected and intimate with him, but you're having to like figure it out a little bit for your body and how normal that is. I can even, the book Come As You Are from Emily Nagoski. Nagoski, I'm not saying her name correctly. It's an incredible book for couples on the science of sex and the science of the relationship between two human bodies and all the things that make you put your foot on the gas and put your foot on the brake and all the things that make him put on the gas or the brakes and like how to work together when those are like misaligned for all the reasons that they're misaligned in life, which is a lot. And that way you can kind of get into your own body and allow you to experiment a little bit with like what might feel pleasurable to you. And also what you might want to offer your husband if it isn't intercourse. Are you open to offering him anything else?
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. Does he like that?
Yes. I've done oral sex on him before.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like to come that way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I'm like, dude, I can't do this forever.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So this is so great. I love that you shared this because this is totally me. I'm like bored by oral sex in just a couple of minutes. I'm like, oh my God, does this have
well,
to
your mouth hurts?
Longer? Yes. And a million other things. I'm like, this is so boring. Can we move on? But like, we've come up with some like styles of things. Like, let me offer you a couple of ideas. Like, you can offer oral sex for some period of time and he can finish for himself. Or he can move to his own hand. You can offer oral sex again. You can help a little. There's some sexy talking while he's finishing. There's a lot of options.
Okay.
If you're willing to be curious and experiment a little and like try it out. Someone in the chat just Rosie typed, dude, TikTok, like TikTok, time's running out. Exactly. But look at y'all, we are normal. This is okay. If I wanted to do that at a man, like, it doesn't matter who you're performing oral sex on. In this particular case, a 68-year-old man, it would take like an hour. I'm bored after like 3 minutes if I'm lucky. So then it's like, we got to move on and like try something else and experiment with like, what else is possible? There's a lot of toys for men too, by the way, that like women can engage with their partner. And then like literally, what kinds of things are you willing to let him try with you? I would love to see you spend some time just with yourself, maybe with the journal, but if you're not comfortable writing it down, if you have Marco Polo, the app, like a lot of us use in accountability, you could voice record yourself, watch it back, and then delete it, right? You don't have to keep a record if you don't want to. Let yourself tell yourself the truth. Like, are you willing to let him touch you? Are you willing to let him have oral sex with you? Are you willing to let him like touch other parts of your body? Are you willing to let him penetrate you with one finger and see how it feels if you've gotten stimulated or with some lube? Like, after not doing it for a long time and menopause and discomfort, it's only going to be more discomfort. There are even some training tools for the vaginal canal to help with like reopening and reintroducing this kind of thing. So there's a lot of tools, Michelle. Yeah. It's just all about you embracing you the way that you are.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You are not alone. Oh my gosh, you are just not alone. So let's create an action plan for you, like a truly doable plan. What kind of action do you want to take first?
I think I want to try and talk to him.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's been 2 years, maybe okay. Three.
Yeah.
So maybe talk to him about it. Because I mean, we flirt and we play and, you know, we do that kind of stuff. But then it's like I do a hard.
Yeah.
So I need to basically talk to him, let him know that's what I want to try to do, yeah, and then go from there.
And that sounds amazing. And that even can be an even smaller step. At the next flirt and play, you can literally flirt back. Like, I've really been thinking about a lot about being intimate with you, right? Like one sentence. It doesn't have to be the big conversation. If you guys, if you text and flirt, you could be like, I really like tonight, Friday night, I'm really thinking about you. Like, I'm really excited about being close to you, right? Like, there's ways to just like take baby steps into a conversation like that. It doesn't have to be like, let's sit down and like have this discussion, right? It's like the next flirt, you can stop and say, yeah, like, I really would like to think about making a change on this.
Yeah, because we were doing, we had some marriage counseling about 4 years ago, and she suggested a app. I forget what it's called. It's like a togetherness app or something, but they have like games and questions that you have to answer. And then like in February, we were going to start it up again. But in February, you know, it's all about sex and this and that. And then I get the whole onslaught of, you're not a good wife, you're not this, you're not that, you know.
In your own brain, right?
In my own brain.
Yes.
You know, and then I just don't want to go there, you know.
Okay.
So let's, maybe I'll start that up as well.
I love that. There
oh,
are
it's paired.
Paired.
P-A-I-R-D.
Okay. The paired app. I love it. There are card decks for relationships and intimacy that are not like the sexy whatever. Mm-hmm. They're sexy, but like, they're not just about sex. They're about relationships and intimacy. There are books that like help with this. So I really just want you to know, when your brain, yes, Vivian said Esther Perel, I can't remember how you pronounce it, has some great games. There are so many possibilities when you are willing to answer back your voice. So when your voice says, you're a terrible wife, because you haven't had sex with your husband for 2 years or whatever it is, you get to answer back, that's just not true. Right? I want you to use those four ends new belief on some of your thoughts too. That's just not true. What I am is a woman who menopaused, and like, I don't really know what to ask for because I don't even know what I want now. And I've avoided it because that was the easiest thing to do. And like,
okay,
offer yourself some forgiveness there, right? Like, nothing went wrong. I didn't know how to handle it, so I just didn't. That's really all you're telling me.
Yep.
And now now you do. You're welcome.
I actually feel better.
Amazing. I'm so happy for you. You're welcome. Like, if you need any support, you can come to Ask Coaches. And I am just so grateful you raised your hand. Thank you for sharing your story with us. It was so brave. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
All right, this call has come to an end. I'm going to answer the Q&A. You're going to sit there for a second, Michelle, there. Yes, I saw someone in the chat said, I work one-on-one. Yes, I work one-on-one with women on all kinds of things, but a lot around this topic, how to create the pleasurable life that you want to have with a partner. If you aren't partnered, in a same-sex partnership, in a non-monogamous partnership, you can go to Ask Coaches. Like, I am open to talking to you about any of it, and there's nothing you could say that would shock me. So you get to decide to not be embarrassed, because I could care less. I like appreciate having a safe space for women to talk about things that none of us have a space, safe space to talk. So really quickly, my wife and I have not had sex since 2009. She would rather snuggle and self-pleasure at another time. I don't really get turned on by her anymore. This does not affect my love and wanting to be with her. She says that she just isn't into sex and never really has been. At times we'll say she enjoys, clearly need reading glasses on. At times we'll say she enjoyed sex with her ex-husband. She has commented that if I want to have sex with someone else, that she just needs to know so she can decide if she's okay with it. I know that she would not be okay as she gets insecure and questions when I or we hang out with women that I was with for 3 months and have been friends with for almost 25 years. This was before I was dating my wife. Along with this, I have lichen sclerosis, and there's a mild severe pain almost all the time. So lichen sclerosis can be really painful and itchy and uncomfortable on your labia. And I understand, like, that that can totally impact any. I have really bad psoriasis, and I can get it in personal zones, and it's uncomfortable, and I find very embarrassing sometimes, and it's okay. Like, it's just the human body. But let's talk about this. So your wife is saying she might be okay with you having sex with someone else, but you don't trust that she would, because with one person that you have hung out with in general, like a friend, she exhibits a version of jealousy. I'm narrowing this down. So the truth is, we don't know. Every human is different. And like, there's a possibility your wife is just straight telling you the truth, and like, you find someone you're interested in having a sexual relationship with, and she's okay with that. It could be that the friendship was part of her jealousy. When someone, sometimes in life, we have to go on the things that people tell us as if they're true. And when a spouse says, I'm totally uninterested in sex, but I understand that you may need it and want it, and I'm okay potentially with you doing that with another partner, you get to put that to the test and see if that's true, and maybe find someone that you're interested in and have that conversation. I know multiple people in what they identify as ethical non-monogamous relationships. So women and men partnered with different women and men. The reason I said what they call ethical non-monogamy is it's not for me to decide what's ethical and what isn't ethical. They're deciding. So it's like being willing to have multiple sexual partners of whatever sex you want to be in a relationship. That is not for me to decide what's okay for you, but your wife is telling you it's okay. The only way you're going to know is if you like potentially come up with someone you might be interested in having a sexual relationship with and sharing that with her and seeing what she says. But you are entitled to sexual pleasure and a satisfying sex life. And I absolutely understand the idea of being fully committed to someone and then also not being satisfied in your sexual relationship. If you are interested in having another partner, I would urge you to find who that person might be. And before you do it, talk to your spouse about it, because that's what she asked you to do. And she may or may not be comfortable. And then you deal with that at that time. But the truth is, you are no worse off than you are today. You're not having sex with your partner. They aren't interested. And they basically do want you to have some sort of satisfaction. And it's inside of your partnership, what's right for you is what you have to do. And you may be right. They may not be okay with it. But you can't decide they won't be okay with it before you even try. And also, when they say that they are, decide that your version of the story is more right than theirs. It's a conversation to keep happening, having with your partner. Sorry about that. We ran a little bit long, and it was so good to be here with you all. Thank you so much for sharing and showing up. We've kind of moved these dates around a little. This is our first Friday back. So I look forward to seeing you again next month. Thank you, Coach Lisa and Vern. We really appreciate you. I'll see y'all soon. Good night.